The Crane Wife, written by Water Level Dropping, narrated by Rhea 314. Fandoms: Karaoke Iko, aka Let's Go Karaoke, and Famiresu Iko, aka Let's Go to the Family Restaurant. Pairing: Narita Kyoji / Oka Satomi. Rating: Explicit. No archive warning supply. If his phone hadn't died halfway through the party, the time on his lock screen would have told him he missed the last train 20 minutes ago. When he had agreed to tag along to karaoke with everyone, he hadn't been aware they'd been intending to go all night. It was nice of them to invite him after class, but it had been such an impromptu thing that Satomi had let the idea of it get the better of him. A Friday, where he somehow wasn't scheduled to work, no food in his fridge, the promise of easy small talk that a group of classmates promised, and had somehow forgotten the reality that he didn't care for karaoke. It was one of the big rooms, two huge screens, sticky vinyl seats, even a disco ball, though that was thankfully off at the moment. About 15 people in total. The speakers droned on, someone belting into the mic, a song he'd definitely heard before but couldn't name if asked. Satomi leaned forward and asked over the noise, "Excuse me, could I see the tablet a second?" Embarrassingly, he couldn't recall the name of the girl next to him, front row in his human rights lecture, but she still smiled and passed it to him, her silver acrylic nails clinking on the screen. "Gonna cue something. You'll probably be waiting a while, though." She watched as Satomi pulled up the drink menu. "Or not." "Sorry." Satomi gave a weak smile. The lights were off, and the TV screen's brightness distorted her face into strange triangles of light. He only knew her from staring at the back of her head every Thursday, blonde streaks in her hair. "I'm kind of tired, so..."
"No, I get it. Everyone has so much energy. Hey, put a ginger ale in for me too?" she asked, as Satomi chose an iced coffee for himself.
Then, before he got the chance to find if ginger ale was under soft drinks, or the section labeled other, she did it for herself.
"Thanks."
Her taloned hands reached for a fry from the basket before she turned back around, presenting Satomi with the view he recognized best. "No problem," he said quietly, sitting back. At the bottom of the TV screen, lyrics flashed rhythmically with bright blue. Someone to his right pulled out his phone and started recording the guy who was currently singing. Then another person, and another, all at once transforming the dark booth into a sea of little rectangular lights. The song kept going, the lyrics scrolling on. There was a knock, clear and louder than the music. Beyond the frosted glass of the door was the shape of the person, an amorphous patch against the hallway light. "Excuse me," the employee said as he stepped in. No one else in the room turned around, not even the ginger ale girl. The guy got down on one knee to place the drinks on the table. His nails were very neat. He looked not much older than Satomi himself. Gesturing to the empty cups, he asked, "Would you like me to take these away for you?" "Oh, sure." Satomi nodded and began to consolidate the dishes into one another. Bigger plates on the bottom, used napkins in the glasses, and the glasses on top of the small plates, evenly distributed. He was surprised when he found a few mugs of beer in the mix. Strange, seeing as this group was all underclassmen. Maybe he had the wrong idea about them. He wished he could recall who it was that invited him. Wait, was this guy going to figure out they were all way too young? Was Satomi going to get in trouble by association? But instead, he just held out the tray he used to bring the drinks in, and Satomi placed the tower of tableware on it wordlessly. "Hey, you're good at that," the guy chuckled, his voice turning from the canned customer service one to something more casual. Beneath his two long bangs sat a pretty face. Satomi gave a small smile. "I have a part-time job at a restaurant." "Oh, yeah? How about that?" A certain brightness, like someone had turned up the exposure on a photo, though Satomi vaguely thought it must be the music video on the TV changing. He noticed how tired the guy looked. The kind of eyes that he was used to seeing in the dusty mirror of his own work locker. I work the late shift, too. Satomi found himself continuing to talk. But before he knew it, the guy was standing, turning to go. Keep up the good work. He gave Satomi a nod, then, followed with a curt bow to the rest of the room, he left. The way he'd adjusted his voice, to speak only to him, left Satomi feeling that much more alone, despite the very noisy group he was with. Oh, the ginger ale girl. She wasn't where she had last been when Satomi spoke to her. He searched for her face, even standing up and walking around to do so. The ice in the ginger ale clinked as he held it by the rim. Satomi got to the far end of the booth, bigger than he'd expected, with tables and a stage he hadn't noticed earlier. There was no one even resembling her, though. Someone called out to him, a man's voice.
Why don't you sing something?
A bunch of Yakuza sat around the tables at the bar, all smoking and drinking. This is where the beer glasses from before had come from. That made sense. Do you know where the girl who ordered this went? Satomi held up the ginger ale glass, seeing as he had their attention.
Sing something, come on!
It was like they couldn't even hear him. That, or he was being ignored. Lousy Yakuza. Satomi huffed and made for the door. If the drink wasn't needed, then he should let the guy from before know. Still holding the sweating glass of ginger ale, he stepped into the hallway. Numbered karaoke rooms. All with their own lights, painting the glass of the door. Satomi kept walking. There should have been a reception desk, but when he turned the corner, it was just more of the same rooms. Frustrated, he grabbed the door to one and pulled it open.
You need to wait for an answer before barging in here, idiot.
Satomi flinched at the shout, but it didn't seem to be directed at him at all. In fact, the group of people weren't even looking at him. There was already someone else in here. The guy from earlier.
Sorry about that,
he said, and knelt down to set the drinks on the table as before. He turned to leave. His sneakers squeaked on the floor as he stopped upon seeing Satomi, whose hand was still resting on the doorknob. For some reason, the guy was dripping wet from the ends of his hair, the tip of his nose onto his lips. The front of his shirt and his apron were drenched.
Oh, hello again,
he said, as if he were genuinely pleased that Satomi was standing there, blocking him from leaving. Lit by the fluorescent hallway light as he was, Satomi could only stare. He was really handsome? Satomi startles awake at the sound of Kyoji's phone alarm. It takes him a moment to settle into his body, which is on his futon in his room in Tokyo, not searching through an endless karaoke place. The light on the balcony screen door tells him it's way too early for class. He turns on his side and buries his face into Kyoji's chest, willing the alarm to quiet.
Kyoji-san.
He balls a fist against his chest and means to shove him harder than he does.
This morning.
An arm reaches over him and cuts the noise. Satomi feels him check the time and then drop his phone back onto the tatami, instead pulling Satomi closer into him.
Good morning,
his thick voice says.
Don't snooze it, you'll miss your train.
It's fine,
Kyoji insists, planting a kiss onto the top of Satomi's head.
I'm gonna get up in a second.
Unsatisfied, Satomi shifts, following Kyoji's lips as they trail away from him. He catches them with his own. Kyoji's arms around him go tighter after a few seconds of surprise. The feeling of the dream still lingers in bits and pieces around Satomi, coloring his thoughts with tinted lights, cushioning consequences and shame. He flattens his tongue against Kyoji's teeth, enters his mouth. His fist is balled tight into that stretched-out white sleep shirt. Kyoji makes a confused sound, but doesn't strictly resist. He sucks at Satomi's lips sleepily. Satomi throws his leg over Kyoji's hips before his heart throws itself out from behind his ribs.
Holy shit, Satomi,
hisses Kyoji, his hands flying to Satomi's thighs, lifting him up off of his lower body.
Hang on, I gotta piss.
Sitting in his boxers in the suddenly vacant space on the futon, Satomi listens to the sound of the faucet running, water splashing, the towel rod as it squeaks. His senses are properly returning to him now. He's awake. His mouth feels gross from morning breath, and the dream from earlier is starting to fade as he absentmindedly skims an email his professor had sent late last night about deadline extensions. When Kyoji comes back and nudges him with his foot, Satomi doesn't look up. The group chat he's part of is organizing a study session for Saturday, it looks like. Satomi thinks of going, then remembers he has a shift. Kyoji nudges him again.
Yes? Satomi asks as he types. You're out of paper towels. I'll buy some next paycheck.
He puts his phone down. There's coffee in the thing still.
It's fine. You can have it.
Kyoji squats down and presses a wet kiss just behind Satomi's ear, nibbles his earlobe. The guy from his dream pops into his mind, friendly and tired and unexpectant. Satomi shrugs his shoulder and Kyoji pulls back.
Get dressed, he says, looking away. You're going to be late.
After the door closes, Satomi flops back onto the futon. Today is poli-sci, government, and he's going to make some headway on that group paper. He locks his phone and turns his face back into the pillow, wishing fruitlessly for the stickiness of the karaoke place floor and the softness of Kyoji's tongue again. He drags the heel of his hand down his stomach until he's pressing down on his half-erection. He grinds down a few times, trying to remember last night. Some conveyor belt sushi by the station, movie. The way Kyoji had pushed into him when they got home. Always saying something predictable and cliché, laughing at Satomi getting mad at him for it. As if he doesn't take a 2-hour train every month to fuck some kid's ass. Satomi whines. It's still early. He picks up his phone, face half in the pillow, and opens an incognito tab as he reaches past his waistband. Next Friday night, he's heading back from another one of Morita's concerts. This time at a dive bar in Ueno. He'd managed to get out of the afterparty this time. He takes a seat on the train once it clears out at Tokyo, originally planning on using the time to study with a book he'd brought along, but the text on the page can't seem to sink into his head, likely on account of the music still ringing in it. He checks the screen above the train door. It's still about half an hour to Kamata, so he folds to the tiredness and hugs his backpack, chin to chest. There was no one at the front desk of the karaoke place. To the side, the elevator was taped off for repairs. The same cacophony of echoed bad singing filled the place. Satomi looked down to find his sneakers in a pool of soda, which, when he followed the stream, appeared to be leaking from the drink bar. Thinking he had better find someone for that, he began to walk toward the doorway behind the desk. A radio resting on the shelf of cleaning supplies bleated out some staticky song into a similarly empty back room. It was bright here, somehow brighter than the rest of the place. The sink was leaking, producing a hollow, tinny drip, drip, drip. Satomi crossed the room, opened yet another door, and then he was no longer alone. He was outside, at the back of the store. It faced a cramped parking lot. Right next to his feet was a concrete stoop, and on it was a young man with a cigarette loosely held between his fingers.
Oh, hey.
He slowly craned his neck to look up at Satomi.
You're not supposed to be back here, I don't think.
It's you again, Satomi realized. From earlier.
It's me.
He took a drag. Satomi sat down.
Sorry, I don't know your name, he said. Yeah, you do. It's Narita. Kyoji? See, I told you.
Kyoji blew the smoke away from Satomi.
Save me the breath.
Was that the reason he trailed after him? Subconscious attraction? Or had it really only been an unspoken connection with another guy working the night shift?
What are you doing? Satomi asked.
Well, right now I'm on the clock. Still about 3 hours left in the shift. After that, Kyoji hummed. Probably hit someone up.
He punctuated it with a laugh, one that sounded familiar to Satomi's ears. If he let his eyes go unfocused just slightly, he could place what he knew as Kyoji, with all his peculiarities and angles, over this person's features. His eyes were the most recognizable, of course, keeping in mind that this was indeed Kyoji. Then the apron looked considerably out of place. He didn't seem to mind Satomi staring, looking out at the treetops past the dumpsters, his elbows resting on his knees. Of course, Satomi knew he'd worked at a karaoke place when he was younger, maybe early 20s? It was hard to tell. The uniform for the place was short-sleeved, and Satomi realized all at once that the skin on his upper arms was bare past his elbows.
Hey, actually, I don't suppose you'd be free.
Satomi blinked, slightly perturbed at being addressed by the object of his analysis.
For what, exactly?
Kyoji gave an easy shrug, a bit of ash falling from the tip of a cigarette.
We could grab something to eat. There's an all-night diner around here that does really good honey toast, and they're still open once my shift's over.
He suggested this so naturally that Satomi could picture it, as if it was really happening. The sticky booth, the tired waiter, the larger-than-usual portions of food. The way they would look to passers-by on the street, sat across from one another, the fluorescent light making a warm square of window light against the brightening sky. Classmates. Co-workers. Kyoji talking, Satomi listening. Sitting until it became morning proper, and the rest of the world woke up, and the lights inside the restaurant flicked off, and the only sign they had been there was a slightly fuller ashtray, a menu put back differently.
Sorry, do you know who I am? Asked Satomi.
No,
said Kyoji, matter of fact.
Then why would you ask me out to eat with you?
Does there need to be a reason you were here?
Kyoji shook his head and turned back to looking at nothing. The light above the door was letting out a dull buzz, shadows fluttering with moths of all sizes. The next station is Kamata. Kamata. The doors on the right side will open. Please change here for... When he would visit Tokyo with his family as a kid, Satomi didn't understand how all the adults sleeping on the trains would know when to wake up so as not to miss their stop. And even though he does it now, gets up and is ready at the door right before it opens, he couldn't explain it. It's just something he's learned to do. As he rides the escalator down to the front of the station, he does so with thoughts still colored by the dream. The dim light behind the karaoke place has found a home against his ribs, making his chest feel like it has its own moths flocking inside of it. The week trundles on. When Satomi set his work schedule in his first year of university, he'd been motivated by paying for Kyoji to get the tattoo removed. Over time, it had become such a routine that now, with a jar of coins long gone, he has no desire to change it. The night shift, too, has become routine. At the restaurant on Tuesday, wiping at one of the empty tables by the door for the third time that night, he wonders how long Kyoji did this. It's been on his mind since a few days ago. He's considered sending a message asking about it, but he couldn't work out the wording of it. It's hypocritical, not to mention entirely pointless, to be so hung up on how Kyoji had looked sitting on that back stoop. Whatever happened had happened years ago, he knows. But sitting right next to him, their sneakers nearly touching, Kyoji had felt so far away. Satomi wanted to tell him that he was free, that he wanted to go eat honey toast with him in the brittle first hours of the morning.
Oka, his co-worker calls, coming out from the break room. She pats Satomi on the shoulder.
What are you doing?
Oh, Satomi shakes his head.
Just cleaning. She gives him a look. Well, you can take your break if you want. I'm done. Taking the spray bottle and the damp towel from Satomi's hands, she makes a show of waggling them. I'll take over your rounds from here. The microwave hums as it spins his pasta, behind a window stained with remnants of the many break-time meals that have come before. He doesn't really have a set lunch hour, so the line cook makes what Satomi orders when he gets in and leaves it in the fridge. There's a new message in him and Kyoji's texts, but it's only a stamp sent around an hour ago of a cartoon bear kissing another on the cheek with the text, "Do your very best." During the week, their messages usually look like this. Satomi guesses he must have location notifications on for when he arrives at work or something equally strange, so he can send these dumb little stickers. He finishes his food in a stupor of scrolling, and then discovers he's still got more than half an hour until his break is set to finish. Folding his sweatshirt under his head on the cheap plastic table, he shuts his eyes and begins to catalog every single assignment he has to do, the readings he's behind on, if he'll have time before work and after class tomorrow to go pay his bills. Like the plate in the center of the microwave, his thoughts rotate, going nowhere, droning on and on. The plastic-wrapped pastries in the aisle stared up at him, and Satomi stared back. Each of them wore a yellow discount sticker, inviting themselves to be eaten before they were tossed out with the morning garbage in a few hours. Outside, the convenience store's lights blurred on the puddles of rain, oil spills. He grabbed a curry bread from the shelf and said yes when the cashier asked if he wanted a bag. This was the kind of place with stools and counter in front of the windows. It bore the responsibility of being where people from offices nearby went to get their lunch and have a breather. Just as luck, at this time of night there was no one else there. Satomi took a sip of his drink and gazed out at the bar across the street. It had a huge flashy sign, and if he focused, he could even hear the music that must be playing. Like searching radio channels, it faded between the convenience store's copyright-free instrumentals and the monotonous thud of the club's playlist. He didn't know how long he kept staring, only that he was surprised when a guy ascended from below the sidewalk. No, it must be stairs that he couldn't see from where he was. Then jerked, staggered, and fell straight down with a splash. A second figure emerged, and then a third. The third one was crouched by the first. The second one was making big, angry gestures at the third. Satomi had stepped out into the rain, a hand above his brow to try and shield his glasses. The scene kept going as it had when it was behind the glass. "Come back inside. Leave him to sleep it off here," said the tall man in the suit to the girl in the cropped dress. "He has to learn sometime." The girl looked sympathetic, patting the guy on the arm a few times. She waited until the other man had disappeared before she leaned closer to say, "It's better if you didn't come back. But it was really fun talking to you." After she'd gone as well, Satomi took her place, placing the plastic bag with the curry bread on the sidewalk. "What did you do?" he asked, hugging his knees. "I was trying to poach her for one of our clubs. Dumb shit like that is what they start the new guys on." Kyoji rubbed the side of his face where the man's fist had connected. "But hey, it's been a minute, huh? What's good with you?" In the lieu of his work apron, he had on a jean jacket and sweatpants. Half of his outfit was dark with rainwater from the puddle on the sidewalk. The other half was slowly joining it as big drops dripped onto them from the overhang above. Satomi dug out one of the napkins the store clerk had given him and pressed it under Kyoji's nose. Something regretful panged at his chest, that this measly gesture was all he could do, that he hadn't been able to stop him from joining the Yakuza. But then, he wasn't sure what he could have done, or if it would have mattered.
"Thanks,"
Kyoji added, his voice nasally. He gathered himself up and took the napkin into his own hand, grazing Satomi's as he did. It came away red when he pulled it from his face. "Does it hurt?" asked Satomi. An obvious question, but he was unsure what to do now, with his hands or otherwise.
I don't think it's broken,
said Kyoji as an answer, wincing as he pressed the bridge of his nose with two fingers. The rain, heavy and cold, kept on.
Should we get out of here? Satomi said, looking around the street.
No one else was around. The clerk who had checked him out at the store was gone. Even the music from the club had faded, just amorphous city lights and the sounds of the occasional car going by, kicking up gutter water.
Probably.
Where is your place at? Satomi asked, as the two of them stood. Kyoji slower than him. He wavered a bit, his Converse sneakers making a funny plopping sound. He was taller than Satomi by a good bit.
I'll walk you back.
Kyoji snorted, the sound coming out like a gargle through his bleeding nose.
I'm staying with my Aniki right now. If he sees me come back looking like this,
he tapped the side of his nose,
he'll make sure this really does get broken.
Well, we can't exactly just keep standing around. Satomi suddenly recalled what he had in his left hand. He opened the umbrella, holding it up around the two of them.
Oh, hey.
Kyoji looked up at the clear plastic, impressed.
Kind of late, though. I'm already soaked.
Satomi didn't say better late than never. He knew Kyoji could see it on his face. Kyoji looked to him.
So, where to?
There is no way to know exactly where they were, a toss-up between Osaka and Tokyo, though Satomi's gut told him Osaka. Assuming that was true, then what? He couldn't take Kyoji to his parents' house. Few things would be open this late. Open late.
What about that diner?
Satomi found himself suggesting.
The honey toast one? Oh, that place.
Satomi watched as the recognition passed over Kyoji's features, though his face didn't shift much from that tired expression.
Sure. Haven't been there in a while.
So with Kyoji leading the way, just half a step ahead of Satomi, they set out. The umbrella was big and cheap, and kept them from getting wet further, so long as they walked with shoulders occasionally brushing. Satomi didn't ask how far they would have to go to reach the place. He didn't even know what it looked like. But then again, they'd walked this type of route so many times, hadn't they? Satomi always claimed he'd wanted to save the train fare, citing good weather, when it really was wanting to be next to Kyoji, without having to spin excuses. No pressure of small talk, just two people heading towards a fixed point. And now, he was looking forward to the idea of sitting across from one another, enjoying a meal like always. The idea that any one of these corners could be the last one, and Kyoji would stop, and Satomi would stop next to him, and Kyoji'd tilt the umbrella rim up so that they could both see and say, "Here we are," like it was something for just the two of them to bask in, standing there on the wet concrete of the sidewalk.
"Do you want me to hold that?"
Kyoji's fingers came to rest against the neck of the umbrella, just above Satomi's.
"You keep knocking it into the side of my head."
"I can do it." Satomi's elbow jerked, and he held it up higher, right in time for it to hit the sign of the closed cafe they were passing.
"Sorry, it's fine."
Horrifically, he felt his face heat.
"We're almost there," Kyoji remarked. "Do you know what you're going to order yet?"
By virtue of being the only thing he knew they served, Satomi answered, "Honey toast."
"Good choice. I think I want a parfait."
"Do they have those?"
Kyoji shrugged. "Dunno." "What's this place look like, by the way?" Oh, it's kind of old school, I guess. But it's got these big windows in the front, so it doesn't really have that dingy, moody vibe a lot of cafes have."
As they walked up, the building appeared before them from the sea of unnamed businesses. It was on the first floor, right in front of the sidewalk for anyone to peer inside. Next to its front door was a big window, showing the interior of the place. It was hard to reckon with the lights off, but there was a counter in the background, as well as a register by the entrance. In the middle was a wide space where it seemed like tables should have been, but instead there were these strange shapes covered by tarps. In the back, the glass door fridge held cardboard storage boxes. The light fixtures hanging from the ceiling were bare.
"Aw," sighed Kyoji. "Looks like it closed."
Satomi watched as he went and tried the door, a blank expression on his face. It let out a dull sort of sound as the lock rattled.
"That's too bad."
The sinking feeling was crystallizing in his stomach.
"It has really not been my night."
Kyoji slinked back.
"No, it hasn't."
Satomi adjusted the umbrella for him once more.
"At least we got to meet again,"
he said, staring into the empty store.
"I would have liked to take you here, though."
"It's fine. It didn't matter."
"Sorry I couldn't be your honey toast Romeo this time."
"It didn't matter at all."
"Honey toast Romeo?" "Yeah."
"What is that?"
"Me."
He looked off to the side.
"Or, I guess, not me."
The rain continued. So did the two of them. Silently, easily. It was only broken by Kyoji pulling out a crumpled pack of cigarettes from his chest pocket. It looked as if someone had sat on it at one point. From it, Satomi watched as he produced a singular unharmed cigarette. It didn't matter anymore if Satomi went home smelling like smoke. It didn't matter yet. Still too early for their karaoke lessons. It didn't matter anyway. The damp lighter wheel sparked in the rain, not catching.
"How do you know what he looked like at 20?
Mana quirks her brows.
"I've seen pictures, a photo album."
"Where at?"
"I went through his boss's desk to find them once." The humanities hallway, already starkly silent, suddenly feels even more so. Satomi quickly continues.
"Remember how I told you he'd been at the same company a long time? It was pictures from, like, drinking parties and stuff, anyway."
"Okapi."
Mana makes an expression more pity than concern.
"This behavior."
"I know, it's not important right now." He purses his lips. "What I was gonna ask was, do you think I need to tell him?"
"Tell him? About the dreams."
She glances past, checking down the hall. "Is it really making you feel that guilty?"
"Guilt. Is it guilt? Or is it more like an aversion to lying to Kyoji?"
"No lie yet," his mind supplies. "Kyoji hasn't been in town and he hasn't called. There's no way he's explaining this over text." A blessing and a curse. He has time enough before they meet in the flesh again to sort this out. "It's fine. It doesn't matter. Except the very fact that he is thinking that means it does. Shut up." He doesn't know. All he knows is he finds himself looking forward to the idea of Kyoji popping up behind his eyelids again. The same way he feels when he goes to wait for him at the station and sees him walk through the gate, healthy and whole.
"You aren't, like, more into him in your head, are you?"
asks Mana's voice.
"No,"
Satomi replies. The certainty in his own voice bolsters him a bit.
"Then it's fine."
Mana adjusts her backpack strap. "Don't overthink it.
We were just talking the other day about how you could use the extra sleep. Maybe this'll be like a motivator."
Her smile, kind and final, tamps down any further objections Satomi's brain tries to fire off. There's a reason he comes to her about this stuff, after all. She's a good friend.
"Wait, Oka, your boyfriend is 20?
Maruyama pokes his head out from behind Mana, and... okay, Satomi had truthfully forgot he was there. His voice carries through the hall, clear and so, so genuine.
You said your baseline was 15 years older minimum.
Mana's eyes close slowly, brows high and incredulous. She's tapped out. And before there's time for Satomi to try and begin to address this unfortunately credible accusation, their professor rounds the corner, keyring rustling. He watched wisps twirl out from behind the cordoned-off smoking area, but couldn't smell anything. The scent that he associated with summer 2019, despite a truly minimal amount having been smoked around him during. Orange and pink making an effort behind the concrete and lit up signs of the square. Dusk. Satomi stood against an electrical pole covered in band posters, stickers, and advertisement flyers. Periodically, he looked up from his phone to check if any of the faces around him had changed. They didn't for a long while. Enough time for the bar across the way to switch on its string lights, for a few hawkers to rotate shifts. Then, the next time he looked up, someone was approaching. A beeline for his exact direction, sauntering at full velocity.
Well, howdy.
The guy waved with his usual tired smile. Today he had on bracelets that matched the cuff around his ear and skinny jeans with a chain hanging off of them.
It's funny seeing you here.
Satomi willed his eyes up. Hello again.
You waiting for someone?
Yeah, Satomi said. He paused. I mean, I think so, probably.
A girl?
Satomi shrugged.
Damn, well, I hope you have better luck than me.
Kyoji looked off to the side.
I just got stood up.
Really? Satomi asked. Cautiously, he added. Was it related to the family?
Nah, it's this girl I've been seeing a couple years now. We had a fight and we were supposed to talk things out. I had a reservation at the bar she likes and everything.
Kyoji shut his eyes suddenly.
Oh shit, a bunch of my stuff is still at her house.
Sorry, was all Satomi could say. That sucks.
Tell me about it. I think I left my Game Boy there.
He scratched his head. Satomi thought idly of Kyoji being really into awful free poker apps on his phone, the kind with a million ads he always complained about, and wondered if this could be the precursor. Kyoji dropped his hand and said,
Well, it's too bad you're waiting for someone.
What do you mean?
I've still got the reservation. At the bar, you know.
Kyoji looked at him with a smile that almost reached his eyes this time. Then he leaned forward a little, voice pitching to just above a whisper.
It's a nice bar.
And to his credit, thought Satomi, three fruity little cocktails in, it really was a nice bar. Not that he'd been to very many. They sat at their own table by a window that faced the street, too high above the ground for people to see them, and the place itself was dark. Darker than it probably should have been for a legitimate business. There was music being played from somewhere in it, saxophone and piano.
I can't believe you don't like karaoke,
Kyoji was saying around the rim of a soda.
Yes, you can.
Satomi lidded his eyes as he chewed his straw. People passed around them in dark blurs.
You don't like it either. You just like singing one song on repeat. It's a good song.
He tossed his bangs from his eyes. He really needed them cut.
But yeah, I guess you're right. My boss loves it, though. Like a survival response at this point. Sink or sing.
I know. Across the table, Kyoji leaned further on his elbows.
You sure know a bunch of stuff, don't ya?
How come you got such a good head on you? Satomi shrugged. I feel like I don't know anything about stuff that actually matters.
You're saying I don't matter?
Kyoji laughed.
You got a mean streak, too. Not always about patching up no-good Yakuza on the sidewalk.
Only on Sundays.
The music stopped, and the bar filled with polite applause. Kyoji turned around to do so as well. Satomi could picture him taking girls here, nursing a Coke but paying for their margaritas like he was paying for Satomi's, letting them hang off him as they walked to the train platform, maybe not even close enough to invite him home, just a cheap hotel nearby. He was conscious of how warm his cheeks felt, not for the first time that night. He figured that the lighting would make it hard to tell. Instead of saying something stupid, he asked Kyoji if he'd ever thought about going to university.
Yeah. I wanted to, but I never got around to it.
He tilted his head.
Is that the difference between us?
No. Satomi swirled the white flower petals in his drink around with a toothpick. That isn't the difference between us. It was the fact that Satomi could hold his alcohol and Kyoji couldn't, that he'd joined the Yakuza for a place to belong, and Satomi had set himself on the path to a normal job hoping to find his. That Satomi was his first love at 39, and he was Satomi's at 14. That Satomi dreamed about him, and Kyoji didn't dream at all. What would you have gone for if you had? Kyoji stopped to think for a moment.
Like math or something?
Satomi's first thought was, then we would have at least shared an econ elective. His second, late night study session, oral exam. As if reading his thoughts, a sneaker slid up the outside of Satomi's leg.
But humanities and whatever are where all the cute girls are at.
Is that true?
Sure is. Depends on your type, though, I guess.
He knew he wasn't imagining the way his expression had changed.
What's your type, anyway?
Satomi swallowed.
I don't really think about that stuff. Oh yeah? What do you think about then?
Maybe hanging off him on the way to the train station, needing his hand held so he can be led into the hotel, not worrying about a shower, just wrestling like boys onto the bed, whoever got their pants off first won. And he'd definitely be the last with those awful skinny jeans, just pushing them down enough for a finger to fit inside, then two, maybe getting him to finish the first time just from that. He'd never slept with a guy before, so maybe it'd finally make him lose that passive expression when he took dick, chest to the mattress, freshly broken up with and pretending not to be sad. Maybe the sarcasm would turn into gasps. If that's what it took for him to see that he was wasting his time sleeping around, that's what they'd do.
Nothing that matters, said Satomi after a second.
Kyoji laughed and pulled away. The city outside the rain-flecked window looks almost as it did in his dream, blurry and off-kilter, like someone hadn't finished thinking it up. The cab hits a pothole, and Satomi shakes off the sleep he'd been falling into. He's leaning against the car headrest, Kyoji at his side. He puts his phone away when Satomi rights himself. A streetlight passes over his face, his easy smile.
"You always pass out after curry," says Kyoji.
Satomi leans to check the time over the driver's shoulder. They're near Iidabashi Station, 5 minutes. They'd been out at dinner. Kyoji had gotten there early and put their names down, waiting with a jacket over his arm in the early spring chill. It was the first time in 2 weeks that they'd met up, and Satomi had finished his term paper for poli-sci, so he requested a fancy place he knew Kyoji wouldn't say no to. Not that Kyoji ever really said no. It would have been weird to tell him about the dreams over the meal, so they talked about nothing in particular, and Satomi was almost able to forget about them entirely, except for the unshakable feeling that not much time had passed between them seeing one another at all.
It's 'cause it's got that one organic chemical, you know.
Kyoji continues from next to him.
Huh? Curry, the...
He waves his hand lamely.
Sleepy chemical.
Satomi frowns at him.
That's turkey.
Kyoji makes a non-committal sound. The cab pulls over in front of a hotel. Inside is a slightly nicer than usual lobby, characteristic of the kinds of places Kyoji usually books. It feels like Satomi has seen 100 of them in the past 2 years. Instead of going for the elevator like a normal person, Kyoji starts up the stairs to the room on the 4th floor.
"Give me a chance to walk off our dinner,"
he calls back down when Satomi questions him about the choice,
"before you fall asleep on top of me for the rest of the night."
In a small act of catharsis, Satomi finds Kyoji leaning over, catching his breath at the top of the stairs. He straightens up, though his gelled hair is coming loose at the end of the day as it usually does. Kyoji tosses his head to the side, flicking the few strands away. All at once, it washes over him like rainwater. Satomi wants to see him with his hair wet and loose, falling over his head. It's not as fluffy and full as it was when he was younger. Kyoji's hair is thinning, though Satomi has yet to spot any gray strands. Something he looks forward to, as much as he dreads it. Tells himself the idea of Kyoji going gray is going to look hot, so as not to face the idea of what it means. It's complicated. Right now, Satomi hurries them along to the room and shuffles inside.
"Shower?"
asks Kyoji, once he's got his shoes off. "Quickly," Satomi agrees. Kyoji steps into the tiny bathroom and makes a noise of confused inquiry when Satomi crowds in behind him, leaving the door cracked so that the steam can vent. "Quicker if we take it together," he explains hastily to the buttons he's undoing on Kyoji's shirt.
"Uh-huh."
Contrary to the fanciness of the lobby, the water pressure isn't that much stronger than the one in Satomi's apartment. Kyoji stands out of it by the faucets, and shampoos Satomi's hair after he gets his own wet. The scent of Kyoji's cologne and hair gel mixes with the lavender of the hotel shampoo and makes the steam smell sharp and clean. When Kyoji turns his back to wash, Satomi's blurry vision trails down the wings of the crane to his ass, the back of his thighs. He's never asked him much about his tattoos. Mostly, he tries to forget they exist, so he doesn't know how long they took or when exactly he started getting them. In the photo album that Kyoji's boss has, there is a picture of Kyoji, turned from the camera, with just the outlines of his tattoo filled out. If he were to see the back of Kyoji in his dreams, would it look like that picture? Kyoji pulls him back under the water to rinse, and Satomi allows the thoughts to run off him like soap off his skin. Afterwards, Satomi puts on the hotel pajamas, which fall loose over his frame, and sit a little bit small on Kyoji's. He takes a seat on the bed, legs crisscross. The mattress sinks under Kyoji's weight as he follows behind him, hairdryer in hand. With an arm around Satomi's middle, he settles them flush, stomach to chest.
"You use that hairdryer I got you?"
asks Kyoji, as he runs a hand up the back of Satomi's head, rustling. His fingers scratch at his scalp, and he shivers.
"Yeah," Satomi lies.
It sits underneath his sink. He simply doesn't have the time or energy most days. If he were to be more honest with himself, however, Kyoji is the only one who insists he dry his hair before sleeping so as not to get sick, so he associates the feeling of it with him. To be even more honest, it makes him feel lonely if he does it himself.
"There's a good boy."
Kyoji sounds pleased. Satomi had looked up the model of the hairdryer the instant he had a second to himself. It was a month and a half's wages for him.
"'Cause you know you'll get sick otherwise,"
he repeats, as always, and ignores Satomi when he complains that Kyoji's own wet hair always makes his pillows damp. The thing switches on, and Satomi tactically retreats into the sensation of fingernails at his scalp and against his neck. Later, when he's straddling Kyoji's lap as he lays down, Satomi asks his question.
"I was thinking," he starts, "if it's okay with you."
A meaningful, he hopes, touch to the back of Kyoji's thigh. There's a tiny pause to the nuzzling of Satomi's neck, which tells him that Kyoji hasn't missed the meaning. How could he, realistically? But that he also hadn't been expecting it. How could he, realistically?
"Yeah, that's what you want?"
The way he words it sounds like something more, but the way Kyoji says it is so unassuming. He's confirming Satomi's order at the restaurant before he tells it to the waiter for him.
Is that fine?
Of course.
Satomi closes his mouth where it hangs open with something he was going to say, apparently. It's vacated him, leaving him single-minded on the task to fish the lube out of the inside zipper pocket of his backpack, next to his chapstick and his hanko stamp. Kyoji's easy tone of voice is like a lot of other things about Kyoji. It frustrates and entices Satomi in equal parts. It has him wanting to say or do things during sex to get Kyoji to react. Still, it's useful for when he tells Kyoji he wants to fuck him in his ass and doesn't feel particularly like further elaborating.
Course. Course it is. Course you can fuck my ass, Satomi-kun.
Back on the bed, he hooks his thumbs into the worn waistband of Kyoji's pajamas and pulls them down, revealing nothing underneath. At the look Satomi gives, Kyoji explains,
"You know I only bring one extra pair. I figured it would be a waste to put them in the line of fire before I had to wear them all day tomorrow."
Satomi will work with what he's been given. He sidles up close and settles his hand against the dip of Kyoji's pelvis. His indecision smears a bit of lube down the inside of his thigh. Satomi ends up rubbing just below his balls, in the hope it hides it well enough. Kyoji's cock hangs languid, not as stirred from their earlier kissing as Satomi's had been. That's expected. He doesn't let it get to him. The skin under his fingers is still a bit damp from the bath, not made better by the bit of sweat gathered there. It colludes with the lube to sound especially squelchy. They'd forgotten to turn the cooling on in the room, Satomi realizes, which he is going to regret later. Muscles in the back of Kyoji's legs twitch as two fingers press against his perineum.
"Not trying to critique the technique or anything," says Kyoji, "but it does feel a bit like you're searching for my clit back there."
"Be quiet. Don't talk like that,"
Satomi scolds, and shoves a finger up into him to prove how not a big deal this is.
"Woof," he says. "Hi."
Whenever Kyoji does this to Satomi, he always takes it slow, talking to him as the push-in, pull-out, push-in, pull-out of his fingers lulls Satomi's brain into warm sand, all before he properly seats himself inside. It feels good during those times, Satomi will concede, in ways that it doesn't when Satomi does it to himself. He's sure it's not just because his fingers are smaller. It's the way Kyoji laves him with attention, the way he did with body soap in the shower. That same patience is not present in Satomi. Not usually, and not after 2 weeks of being haunted non-stop in his dreams. He sinks his cock into Kyoji, and he's thinking about dead minimum wage eyes and a sneaker trailing against his pant leg and he's thinking about honey toast. His mouth lulls open at the first slow drag and meet of their bodies, of his cock and Kyoji's hole.
"Can you not think the words Kyoji's hole, please?"
he begs himself, but in doing so fires the same synapses which cause his hips to snap again. From below there's a rumbling sound. Satomi looks down and finds Kyoji's face directly below his. His own hands are on either side of it, palms flexed and sweating on the mattress.
"You know you're looking at me like you want to eat me."
Satomi feels himself blink slowly. His eyes are half-lidded and keep going unfocused.
"Two plates of curry aren't enough for Satomi-kun, huh?"
Kyoji hums. Satomi is much, much smaller than Kyoji, but leaning over him right now, he feels like he really could swallow him, keep him safe inside, stop him going back to Osaka. His fingers fist in the fitted sheet and scrape against a much too high thread count. He feels himself squeezed tight in a bunch of places at once, hands, face, neck, and leg muscles. Kyoji's own legs are folded up, ankles locking loosely behind Satomi's lower back. Distantly, he's endeared. The glasses Satomi is wearing bounce on the bridge of his nose, and he can't stop moving. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. Something about how Kyoji had sat smoking on that stoop. How he'd taken the drink to the face as if he'd expected it. How he's always waiting for Satomi to tell him what he wants. Where to go for dinner, when to meet up. How he didn't once clean up his act in almost 30 years. Satomi's hips snap faster into him. The same guy who got knocked out and stood up and... Wow, he thinks. I must love mess. He realizes he's staring at the corner of some picture frame above the headboard, not seeing anything at all but melted beige and browns. Satomi glances down and finds Kyoji looking back up at him, eyes unreadable as always. Satomi finds his voice and asks, Kyoji-san? At the same time as Kyoji says,
You really do like old man ass.
The moan Satomi gives in response comes out sounding more ambiguous than he would have preferred. His tongue is thick, his throat dry from panting.
Does this feel okay? Is it fine?
It's good.
Kyoji's smile is a slack turn of his lips. He's lying.
Keep going. Keep it up, baby.
His cock is barely hard. He's lying, and it's so hot. Kyoji's hands, palms big and warm, find their home on either side of Satomi's hips. He feels thumbs running in a little circle at the jut of his bones under his skin. Satomi's friends used to fret over his diet in the time before Kyoji. But did anyone ever do that for him back then? Those girls he slept with for warmth? Or maybe he's got hundreds of thousands of meat bun debt to his boss, and that's the actual reason why he can't quit. It's so stupid. It's wet and sparks behind his vision stupid, and he's glad. He's the scum of the earth for this, but he's glad Kyoji's life sucked. Otherwise, how else could they be here right now? He needed to take all those drinks to the face, all those long lonely nights with girls he didn't care about, so that Satomi could be the one that... No. He absolutely cannot be thinking things like that. Not when Kyoji's right here. Satomi has missed being able to touch him, and he's making Satomi feel so good that he might be crying, which would be embarrassing. He ducks his head down, meaning to wipe it against Kyoji's shirt. The fabric is pleasant and freshly washed with hotel detergent, and he ends up laying his cheek there, on the edge where it meets the exposed skin of Kyoji's chest. He doesn't know how long he stays there, fucking Kyoji, knowing Kyoji isn't even half hard off it. But eventually Kyoji gathers Satomi's head into two cupped palms and kisses him, open-mouthed. It makes Satomi think that he really should have been the one to do it, in apology for thinking something so mean. He tries his best to make up for it now, kissing and kissing, and trying to make it the shape of, I'm sorry, I'll figure out how to take care of it from here on out. Sometime later, Kyoji's brushing his teeth for bed and pads back into the main room to stare at the TV. He stands there shirtless in his precious one pair of underwear and points at the screen going,
We should go see this movie sometime.
Sure, Satomi says, eyeing him from the pillows. Do you ever have dreams about me? Kyoji turns, toothbrush hanging from his mouth.
No,
he replies.
Do you?
Satomi nods, closing his eyes. Ask me about them later. I'm tired now.
Well, all right,
says Kyoji. And Satomi hears his bare feet walk back into the bathroom to rinse. The light seeping in behind Satomi's closed eyelids is proof enough of his presence for Satomi to drift off without too much more thinking. The wheels on the bike squeaked an awful sound, protesting the weight of two whole people as it was pedaled up the hill. Satomi had lost the argument to sit in the back, Kyoji citing that he'd fall off, and was instead sitting on the handlebars. By contrast, in this scenario, Kyoji had emphasized, if Satomi fell off, he would fall into Kyoji's arms at least. And really, Satomi was too used to accepting this type of self-serving reasoning that he just shot up and got on the bike. It was nighttime yet again. The front light seemed to have burned out a while back.
Relax.
Kyoji moved his hand closer to Satomi's on the handlebar, a reassuring brush of his fingers.
Like I told you, I come up this way all the time.
Satomi shifted his hand to rest on Kyoji's before he could move away, ensuring his grip kept firm. He made himself look out at the houses and streets below them, dotted with bits of light. There was a pleasant breeze. It could have been fall, or spring, or a warm winter. The wind ruffled Kyoji's t-shirt, some faded band name Satomi couldn't make out. It looked like one of the ones Morita wore. It was small on him, and the only thing that made Kyoji look older were the lines of ink beginning to snake down past the sleeves of the thing. He stood up on the bike to pedal the last of the way as the crest of the hill came into view. Strange shapes jutted out against the night sky.
See it?
Kyoji asked. He slotted his chin into the crook of Satomi's neck.
That's where we're heading.
Satomi squinted.
A playground?
Kyoji rested the bike against a low fence and helped Satomi down. It was a small place, nestled far enough away from the houses that the noise wouldn't be a problem, but still close enough that it appeared well used. The view was what made it special, Satomi guessed. The whole town around them, the brighter city past it, the blotches of mountains past that. It seemed Kyoji didn't agree with this assessment, because when Satomi turned back from the edge, he found him sitting on one of the kid rides, rocking back and forth. His legs were up by his elbows. Satomi walked over.
You're gonna scare off the kids. Nah, it's just us here. Unless you're counting yourself.
He smirked.
You're the only one playing on that.
I don't have to be. Satomi looked at one of the other little rides, a squirrel, and frowned at it before leaning against it. His feet pushed two little paths of dirt into the ground. He dug the toe of his sneaker into one.
What time is it? He asked. Aren't you tired from work? A little, I guess.
Back and forth, back and forth.
What about you?
Yeah, nodded Satomi, going to stand by him.
A little.
He took Kyoji's hand. I want to see the city some more.
Okay.
It had been a bit of a lie. Mostly he had wanted that casual boyish closeness that Kyoji demonstrated on the bike ride, but it was too soon to make the trip back down. He led them by the edge of the small overlook and dropped Kyoji's hand, even though he wasn't ready to. The warm spots of light reflected off his glasses and made them seem more numerous. He squinted, and they multiplied, floating in his vision, taking the shape of countless unvoiced things, some longer than he cared to admit. Sometimes in the text box of their line chat, occasionally in his journal, once in his high school yearbook. They had all been wanting and pathetic, and only one of them had ever made it out. Nowadays, all he does is stuff like calculating Kyoji's spice tolerance, low, or memorizing his refractory period, long. It had taken this long for the dam to break, and for him to envision what they would have been like closer in age, maybe being able to rely on one another. Do you think we would have been friends? Satomi turned to ask. He found Kyoji already looking at him. His smile assumed once again.
We're already friends.
I mean, in school, or if we had worked the same job, if this was real, would we have been friends? His eyes closed as he thought. The wind went through his bangs.
Probably not.
Yeah, replied Satomi, taking his hand again. No tattoo of his name on Kyoji's arm yet.
I think so, too. Does it matter?
I guess it doesn't. The corner of Kyoji's mouth twitched up.
You're a funny guy, he said, Satomi's fingers under his own. Come here. He pulled them together and finally kissed him. Satomi wakes up hard, Kyoji pressed to his back like a yakuza-shaped leech. After the wide open of the dream, he's suddenly claustrophobic. He also needs a hand down his pants as quickly as possible, and since Kyoji is still asleep, that leaves only his own. He pushes off the wall with a foot and starts to rub at the head of his cock. There's already a wetness there. It isn't long before his palm is coated with it, and relief begins to sing through his nerves. Spit gathers in the back of his mouth in an imitation of Kyoji's tongue. He swallows it down with a wet moan. For a moment, he worries he's been too loud. Then his mind reminds him he's in the hotel bed. That's half the reason they get hotels. The light little smile Kyoji had given him. We're already friends. So simple. To meet a few times in a few weird circumstances and become tied together. Nothing like the swimming upstream of real life. Could it have been that easy? A chance meeting, a kiss, a bike ride, laughing about sharing lecture notes. Satomi rolls onto his back, his hand moving all the while. It's then that he remembers these are not his own pajamas, and he has to peel them down his thighs with one hand to spare such obvious evidence for the housekeeping. He groans again because he's close, and because it occurs to him that it doesn't even mean what he wants it to if the Kyoji by his side is still sleeping. God, he'd looked stupid on that kiddie ride thing. Hot stupid. If they had ridden back down the hill together, Satomi would have made sure that he rode in the back, with his arms snaked around that thin waist. He buries his face and the rest of his sounds into Kyoji's shoulder. When that doesn't work, Satomi gives him a good kick under the covers. A big arm pulls Satomi closer to Kyoji's warm body and effectively smushes his cock up against Kyoji's leg.
Don't kick.
Kyoji sounds put out, his eyes still shut.
What you doing?
I had a dream, Satomi replies, too turned on and too sleepy to attempt justification. He's rocking against Kyoji's thigh now.
A good one, I guess.
His hand trails from Satomi's shoulder down his arm until he cups Satomi's hand in his own, just like at the top of the hill.
Was it about me?
Satomi sucks a gasp in through his teeth. Kyoji's hand grants him that extra bit of pressure, of being engulfed, to almost make him feel like he's back between his legs. He really let him do that last night. Satomi'd wanted to see him fall apart, thought he might ask for even more after Satomi finished. Instead, Satomi had embarrassingly fallen asleep nearly right after he came. But it was okay. He could fix that now. If he could focus and use his vocal cords for anything other than useless groans, he could tell Kyoji about what they did in his dream. That Kyoji'd kissed him for the first time, showing Satomi that the desire had always been there, that it wasn't that hard to do. Like he'd been trying to tell him, he'd always wanted it. There was no need to have waited so long. He could tell him again. If he just stops thrusting into this heat for a second, his hand swaddled in Kyoji's. Damn it, he's finishing into his own palm.
Take your clothes off.
Kyoji's refractory period may be long, but the fact is, Satomi's isn't. He's going to stick his cock down Satomi's throat and he's going to like it.
Satomi-kun.
Kyoji gives him a smile. The same one he uses when he's about to inform him he's busy this weekend and can't come into town.
It's early.
Well, the hotel breakfast is at 8, Satomi says. So we better hurry this up.
What's the occasion, even?
He's still joking, but his pants are off now. His cock is leaning against his thigh, and Satomi is pleased to find that it's stirred a bit before he gets his hand around it.
I'm hungry.
The lube from last night is somewhere on the floor, and he doesn't feel like looking, so he spits in his palm and takes Kyoji's dick in his hand. The feeling of Kyoji getting harder under his touch stirs stuff up in his stomach. He can't stop thinking about the tired eyes he saw in his dream, how they stare back at him now in waking, boring into him so intently he has to look away, to focus. Satomi strokes him with almost as much fervor as he'd done to himself, but it's not enough. The head of Kyoji's cock doesn't leak like Satomi's does. He could spit into his hand a third time, or he could cut out the middleman. The carpet of the hotel is itchy on his knees, but Satomi doesn't have time to think about that right now. He swallows and opens his mouth for Kyoji to position his cock against his tongue. Kyoji's face is wobbly, expression silhouetted by the light from the window behind him.
You sure?
Kyoji hesitates, even with a hand on his hard dick.
Wait,
says Satomi in a moment of clarity.
Give me my glasses.
Kyoji takes a few seconds to register this before his gaze drifts sideways to the glasses on the side table. He nearly drops them in the attempt to unfold them, and when he slides them onto Satomi's face with both hands, there's fingerprints on the lenses. Doesn't matter. They'll likely be getting dirtier than just that if Satomi has his way. Kyoji gives a tap to the bridge so they'll sit proper on his nose. Then Satomi swallows and slides his throat forward. Kyoji doesn't let on about the things that really get him off. Satomi's always thought this unfair, considering all of his own are very well known. That doesn't mean there aren't tells. For instance, Kyoji can't resist watching when Satomi stuffs his face. A voice from above him, pushing past the blood in his ears.
You like doing this?
Satomi nods, forgetting he's got a dick in his mouth. His teeth graze skin, and Kyoji makes a sound out of his nose. Satomi rights himself and goes back to bobbing his head like a guy who knows how to give head. He has to, in order to keep down the things that threaten to crawl out of his throat. Stuff about how he sometimes imagines Kyoji, in his old suit, because he wears a different one now, in his old car, because he doesn't drive when he's in Tokyo, asking Satomi to his knees in the back seat. There's a fire in his stomach, and he dips his head down as far as it can go, until Kyoji's completely filling his mouth up. He compensates for where his lips end by circling his fingers around where the wiry hair starts. And when he pulls off, Satomi stares at the sight of Kyoji standing full and hard for a few breaths.
Sorry I fell asleep last night.
Kyoji's hand cards through his bangs. He hadn't realized he'd been sweating so much.
Don't be. You're always working so hard. A real busy bee.
I don't think I work harder than the average person my age.
Sure you do. You're working pretty hard right now, huh?
Kyoji laughs. Then, his fingers dancing around Satomi's bottom row of teeth, he adds,
Is this mouth all for me?
Whatever was in his stomach before has been replaced by bees, busy ones. Satomi goes,
Uh-huh.
And the tips of his ears burn at how stupid he sounds. His tongue goes to meet Kyoji's middle and index fingers, skirting his nails.
Aw, thanks,
Kyoji says with a pinch to Satomi's cheek.
Can I park myself back in there then?
But Satomi's moving closer, inching forward, to instead press a kiss to Kyoji's balls. Above him, Kyoji starts a bit, grabbing Satomi's ear in reflex. He isn't pulling him away, however. Satomi tries to bring to mind the exact wording of the forum answers he'd looked up, but before he can stop himself, he laves his tongue over the soft flesh, apprehensive to taste a new part of Kyoji.
Satomi-kun... Hold on. What are you doing?
His voice is a warble. Satomi's barely ever heard it so volatile. Cupping with one hand, Satomi starts to suck a kiss just below where Kyoji's cock is. He reminds himself to be gentle, like the way Kyoji licks at his chest, scattering it with marks. Kyoji's laugh careens south into a groan. Satomi looks up and sees he's thrown his head back.
Where'd you learn to do this?
Some internet thread about gay sex,
Also, Kyoji-san tastes good here, his mind helpfully supplies. But in a shocking preservation of his dignity, Satomi simply asks,
"Is it fine?"
against the soft skin.
"Yeah, no, you're doing great, just..."
A long, tight-lipped moan pushed from his chest, warm breath out of his nose. Kyoji doesn't usually put his hands on Satomi when he's doing this, but currently there's fingers at the base of his neck. Occasionally a thumb presses against Satomi's Adam's apple. Satomi tongues the line running up the middle of Kyoji's balls.
"Holy shit, Satomi, come on!"
"What?" Satomi asks, mouth open, eyes wide.
"Do you want it?"
Kyoji's giving him a look like he wants to scold him, but he knows his lips don't make those words. Satomi relents and shifts his focus back onto Kyoji's cock. He takes it into his mouth again, wetting it with spit, alternating tonguing the head and squeezing with his hands, until he can tell from how quiet Kyoji's gotten that he's close. He sits back onto the heels of his feet and catches Kyoji's gaze. He paws at his balls again. He wants Kyoji to come with his hands on them. The glasses had been the play. Kyoji looks like he's trying really hard not to admit to himself that the idea of finishing on them turns him on. Too bad for him, he doesn't have a say.
"It's all right."
Satomi presses one more kiss to the underside of his cock.
"I want it too, so it's fine."
Kyoji curses and finishes, and only some of it gets in Satomi's mouth. He swallows it while Kyoji catches his breath. He's never fed him something Satomi didn't have an appetite for. They shower once more. "Kyoji-san," says Satomi, as Kyoji stands in front of the full-body mirror. Satomi can see himself reflected in it, sitting on the edge of the bed. He's doing up his shirt, tattoos slowly disappearing under the clean white fabric. Salaryman disguise back on for the good of all those on the train to Osaka. "It was about you, the dream."
"Oh yeah?"
He pushes the gel in his hair around, pulling two pieces to hang in front of his forehead.
"Actually, I've been having a lot of dreams about you. Except you're always younger in them."
"Huh?"
Kyoji meets his eyes in the mirror.
"How much younger are we talking?"
"It varies, but typically you're around my age."
"No kidding."
A laugh. He wipes his hands and comes to stand by the bed, the covers of which are completely mussed in contrast to their newly put together appearances.
"I was a handful back then," says Kyoji.
A tired smile plays on his features.
"Take care of him, all right?"
Satomi nods slowly. It wasn't hard to tell him after all, he thinks. A separate part of him adds mildly, "I guess he already knew." It is 3 in the afternoon when Satomi finally gets back to his apartment alone. Lunch had been a Thai place out of the way in Kagurazaka, where the omelet had been so good Kyoji had almost missed his train for seconds. Even before him and Kyoji began seeing one another more formally, Satomi'd always found it jarring how lonely his apartment could feel after a weekend together. On the walk back from the station, he'd tried to acclimate himself for how he knew it would be, to step back into its unassuming solitude. Still, that metal door shut and left him stranded for 2 more weeks. On the floor, his futon is still out. He guesses he'd forgotten to fold it. Satomi slides his backpack onto the floor and lays down, face in the pillow. He's got a shift tonight and one of his busier class days tomorrow. He's not particularly tired, but he blinks at the midday light through the curtains he'd neglected to close. Eventually, it doesn't come anymore, and he falls asleep. Lights blurred to one side of him, the wind loud in his ears. It hurt to keep his eyes open, so he went back to resting his face in between Kyoji's shoulder blades. His shirt smelled unfamiliar, like someone else's detergent. Satomi was on the back of the bike, and they were heading down the hill.
Okay back there, buddy,
came Kyoji's voice. The muscles in his back moved as he tilted backwards ever so slightly. Satomi responded by nodding against him. It wasn't frightening, just fast. For reasons against his better judgment, Satomi trusted Kyoji to steer them along. Getting onto a Yakuza's bike was at least more advisable than getting into his car, in the long run, probably.
How much longer? Satomi asked.
His fists were bunched in Kyoji's shirt, firmly at his sides below his ribs. It'd have been too forward to wrap his arms around him, after all, even if they were friends.
We're almost there, if I remember it right.
Kyoji's chuckle so close. They hit a pothole. He squeezed the brakes just enough to make Satomi's heart tighten. He trusted him. Eventually, they got to the bottom of the hill. Things slowed down. The wind wasn't as loud. They continued along the road through the middle of the town. Everything was closed at this hour. Satomi turned his neck to watch it all pass, his ear against Kyoji's back. He could feel the ridges of his spine through his shirt. He wondered when he'd last eaten. He wondered if he'd ever gotten that honey toast he was so adamant about. If he even liked it from anywhere but that now closed diner. They came to a stop. Satomi lifted his head.
Oh.
He blinked at the door to his parents' house.
Thanks. No worries. This is the place, isn't it?
Yeah. He got off the bike. This is the place.
Cool beans.
Kyoji pointed up at the second story. In the kitchen window were silhouettes of Satomi's mother and father preparing dinner. It was cracked, so the sounds of the radio drifted down to the street.
Well, you don't want to keep them waiting. I wonder what's on tonight.
You can come eat with us, Satomi blurted before he knew what he was saying. He regretted it instantly. It wasn't true. Kyoji couldn't meet his parents, he knew that. Kyoji just smiled, rolling back on his bike a few meters.
Thanks. Maybe some other time, though.
It wasn't that he didn't want to. It was just that he understood as well as Satomi did that it couldn't happen.
Where are you going now?
Kyoji's eyebrows lifted as he thought.
Just back to the office, I guess.
Do you have work tomorrow, then? He smiled.
I've always got work.
They stood only a few feet away from one another, yet Satomi understood implicitly. It wasn't hard to. Between the road beneath the bike tires and the sidewalk was an ocean of distance. He realized,
I'm not going to see you again, am I?
Kyoji laughed, as if that had been what he had been waiting to hear.
Come on, I'm right there. You know that.
As if he had been waiting to be there to reassure Satomi when he said it.
Yeah,
nodded Satomi. He took a step forward. I do. The radio from above them buzzed with advertisements. Kyoji felt the same as all the time Satomi had hugged him before, only a bit skinnier. His glasses knocked askew a bit as his forehead pressed against a warm neck. It was too late for dinner anyway. He'd go straight to bed when he got in.
I know that.
If his parents decided to look out the window, they'd see their son hugging a stranger. Satomi held tighter, rumpling Kyoji's shirt around his shoulders. It occurred to him that he didn't care. Fingers dipped past the hood of Satomi's sweatshirt and rubbed there for a few beats of time. With his right hand, he cradled Satomi's head and pressed his cheek against his ear. Satomi was sure Kyoji's eyes were open, though he couldn't say why. After too soon, Satomi pulled back.
Well then.
Kyoji set his foot on the pedal. His smile was different, distant, like he was already locking Satomi away into a box that he'd only open when he was alone, safe.
Later, alligator.
Yeah, Satomi nodded. His voice shook a little. Later. Somewhere past Kamata Station West, there's a cafe that opens late and closes later than a shop like it should. Its front wall is almost completely a window, so it lets in more light than other places. There's a good amount of seating inside, a long counter with stools and big cushioned armchair seats, too. The tables are all circular, and the best seat, as everyone knows, is the one by the window. If you're lucky with your timing, you can grab it as someone is leaving, usually mothers chatting away, or high schoolers studying, or a woman who sits and reads the paper. Satomi waits for Kyoji there. Today is lucky. The bell over the door rings out in tune with the employee's welcome.
Hey,
Kyoji greets over the dull squeak of the chair on the floor.
How long have you been waiting?
I wasn't just waiting, I was studying, replies Satomi.
How long have you been not just waiting, studying?
Like an hour. Satomi drops his highlighter into his pencil case with finality.
So I'm hungry. Don't I know it?
He drapes his coat over the chair.
Pass me the menu.
Is it okay if I order for us, actually? Satomi raises his hand to motion to the waiter.
How's that?
You have to promise me you'll eat it. Kyoji gives him a look but concedes, sitting back in his chair. He still doesn't take his eyes off him as Satomi puts in the order.
How are the dreams?
Asks Kyoji as he sips his latte.
We getting up to anything crazy?
The last one was 2 weeks ago, on the day you left, Satomi replies coolly. There haven't been any since.
No kidding. I wonder why they stopped.
He pauses, looking off past the counter to the cakes in the display.
You're not lonely, are you?
Satomi shrugs. A little, but I'm glad you're here this weekend. He decided last week that he'll tell Kyoji about the dreams, about what they did. Even if he already knows, he'll hear it again. Satomi wants him to know. Though he can't feel the night rain or the darkness of the bar or the breeze of the hilltop, he should know that they both were there, and it was good. The waiter is at their table. He goes,
I have two classic honey toasts here,
and places the plates down in front of them. It's two exact copies, the bread tall and covered in whipped cream. It crunches when Satomi bites into it, flowing honey into his mouth. Across the table, he watches Kyoji cover it in even more honey from the little pot on the plate before he takes a bite. And they sit like that until both their plates are cleared. They talk about the usual stuff. Kyoji tells him about the recent family matters, how there's a picnic coming up. Satomi goes, Yakuza do hanami? And Kyoji goes, everyone does hanami. Satomi shows him his notes, explains what he's been studying. Kyoji orders another coffee. Satomi chides him that it's nearly 7, to which the response is that they just had dessert as their dinner. All to the steady thrum of people walking outside, getting out of work or heading somewhere for the night. Everything passes by from the window. A couple stops in front of the restaurant, the man pointing at the menu while his girlfriend takes a phone call. Two grade schoolers wait at the traffic light in their gym uniforms laughing. The side door of a ramen place opens and a woman throws a pail of water into the gutter of an alley. The sky colors some kind of purple. When they step outside, it's chilly.
That was good,
says Kyoji, stretching his hand over his head. Satomi hears his back pop. In his hand is a neat briefcase, the only thing he brings when he rides into town. Overnight clothes are stashed alongside his paperwork with an organization that shouldn't work but does.
Where to next?
He asks.
Home. Can we stop so I can get some cigarettes?
No, Satomi decides and begins walking. Kyoji hesitates for a second before he follows.
You're the boss, he shrugs.
According to his map app, they're not all that far from Satomi's apartment. The cafe had been closer than he thought. He wouldn't mind making a habit of stopping by every now and again. Sitting by the window had helped him focus a bit better, he feels, and changing up from the school library is never a bad idea. and their orange juice had been pretty cheap, considering.
You know, it's weird,
says Kyoji. What is?
That dessert. It's like I was craving it and didn't even realize it till I was chowing down.
A train passes by on the tracks on the other side of the fence, going on to reach the same destination it does every day. Satomi brings himself closer to Kyoji, the back of his hand brushing the fabric of his coat. It really is cold. Yeah, he says. I know what you mean. The end. Author's note. Honey toast is a dessert that originated during the late Showa period, often served at karaoke bars. Reader's note. Before starting this fic, I had not decided whether I was going to be saying karaoke or karaoke, so hopefully the decision to go with karaoke as the Japanese pronunciation rather than karaoke as the English pronunciation makes sense, since I'm trying to do correct pronunciation of the rest of the Japanese words in this. Hopefully I've done an okay job. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this podfic's post. And you're also welcome to leave me feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks.